Come, Holy Spirit, would you take these words and speak to us through them, I ask, in Jesus' name. Please be seated. I'm beginning a new sermon series today on prayer, specifically, why should we pray when we don't always seem to get answers to our prayers? And a follow-up question to that, I guess, is why do we pray at all? There was a guy who had an idea of prayer, maybe something like yours. His idea of prayer was that he was a bit overweight and he was looking to lose some pounds. And so he went as far as not only to go on a diet, but also to change the direction of his approach to his work. And so he would go a different direction to avoid his favorite bakery. And so one day his co-workers were surprised to see him walk in with a giant coffee cake. And so they kind of ridiculed him a bit, made fun of him, and he said, "Oh, this is a very special cake." And they said, "What are you talking about?" And he said, "Well, I believe this is really an answer to prayer, because I accidentally went the wrong way in my coming to work today, and I happened to go by the bakery and I saw this coffee cake in the window. And I thought, well, that's no accident. And so I prayed, Lord, if you want me to have this coffee cake, open up a parking space right in front of the bakery." And sure enough, after the eighth time around the block, there it was. Well, sometimes we think of prayer that way, and sometimes people are confused about prayer. What is prayer? Why pray? What should we pray for? I've come across many Christians that have become discouraged, disappointed, and even disbelieving in prayer. In Luke chapter 18, Jesus tells the parable of a woman who comes to a judge who is kind of an uncaring sort of a judge, and she's seeking justice from him. So she's constantly coming, day after day, coming to him, seeking to have his intervention in her case. And he continually rebuffs her until finally he agrees to hear her case and gives her what she needs, because he figures that she's just going to keep coming to him over and over and over again. Well, Jesus tells that parable not to describe God as an uncaring God, but rather to emphasize the importance of praying about things constantly and not giving up. Certainly, it's easy to give up on prayer. We start out with sincerity, believing, bringing our requests to God, maybe for a few days, and then maybe for a few weeks, but then we don't seem to see any results, and so we stop praying. A pastor I once knew shared one of the following story. He said, "Once when I was speaking on prayer in another church, God gave me a word of encouragement for an older woman I met during a break in the service. I'd never met her, I'd never seen her before in my life, but I felt strongly that God was leading me to speak to her. Ma'am, I said, here's something the Lord has put on my heart to say. You know how to pray, you know how to intercede, and you need to teach other women how to pray." I heard these words coming out of my mouth, and then God's direction became even more specific. I said to her, "You need to teach women who are married to unbelievers how to pray for their unbelieving husbands to come to Christ." Well, after the service, the pastor of the church said to me, "I want you to meet this woman you spoke to earlier and hear her story." So he took me over to her, and she gave me this unforgettable account of God's answer to her intercession. She lived in Oklahoma and had been married to an unbeliever for 42 years. Then one day, while traveling in Florida, her husband was killed in a car crash. About a month after her husband died, this woman received a phone call. A stranger identified himself and asked for her husband by name. "I met him recently," the man on the phone explained, "and we exchanged contact information." "I'm sorry to tell you this," she replied, "but he recently passed away. He was in a car accident in Florida." "In Florida?" the man said. "Yes," she replied. "He was on a business trip." The man on the other end of the line became very quiet. Then he said, "Ma'am, do you mind me asking you on what day it was that he passed away?" She had no idea where this conversation was heading, but she told him the day. "Did you talk to your husband that day?" he asked her. I did, she replied. We spoke that morning. He would call me every morning and every evening when he was away on business trips. But then he was killed, and I didn't talk to him that night. Ma'am, the man said on the phone, I'm thinking I have some very good news for you. I'm a believer in Christ and a businessman, and I go to work every morning in a suit and a tie. But one day, the day your husband died, God began to speak to me in a way I just couldn't shake. I was all dressed up in my suit and tie, ready to drive to work, when he told me to go out to the freeway and hitchhike. It seemed strange, but I obeyed him. I put my thumb out, and the first car that pulled over was your husband's. I led him to Jesus that day, and he was going to call you that night and give you the news. This was a woman who believed in prayer, even though she hadn't seen any direct results for 42 years. Like the woman in Luke chapter 18, she kept lining up every morning and every night, bringing her requests to God, asking for help with her husband, bringing her husband to salvation. The months went by, and then the years went by, and she never quit. She never stopped believing until her husband's dying day. And then, just to encourage her heart, God gave her the news she would otherwise have to wait to heaven to receive. I'll never forget that courageous woman's story. It showed me once again how faithful God is in answering prayer, the determined, persistent prayers of ordinary people like you and me. It also reminded me that we can trust God's timing, even though we don't always agree with His timing. So the question is, what is prayer? Well, someone once defined prayer in this way, quote, prayer is an open door into the presence of our God and Creator, where we can praise Him for who He is, thank Him for His goodness, confess our sins and find forgiveness, and bring our deepest concerns, our silent fears, and our heartfelt desires to place before Him. End quote. In our Eucharistic prayer each Sunday, I say these words, as our great high priest, Jesus ascended to your right hand in glory, that we might come with confidence before the throne of grace. Can you imagine the wonder and the comfort that the disciples felt before Jesus left them? He gave them this reminder that He would always be with them, and they could always bring their requests to Him. In fact, in John chapter 14, Jesus says these words, and whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. The Apostle John goes on to clarify that a little more in one of his epistles when he says this, that if we ask anything according to God's will, we know that He hears us and that we have the answer to that. So Jesus said, ask for anything in my name and I will do it for you. The implication is if we ask for anything in His name, and that is according to His will, then we're going to get that which we ask for. So why don't we pray? I don't think most of us consciously make a decision not to pray. We don't cross our arms and say, well, I'm just not going to pray. We subconsciously do that when time after time, many times during the day, we subconsciously decide not to pray about something. So many mornings we get swept away with the stream of the day's activities and opt not to spend time with God, not to pray to Him, not to ask Him about anything. So many nights we pull the covers up and go to sleep, or we choose to read a book or check our email or play a game on our telephone or think about our next day's schedule instead of seeking the mind and presence of the Creator. Why is this? Why don't we take great delight in speaking to God? Well, there are many reasons, but really three come to my mind when I think about it. First of all, we think that we can handle life on our own. If we're pleased with ourselves and with our own devices with coping with life, we don't feel like the need or the inclination to seek the Lord or call out to Him. If we're self-satisfied, we won't feel the need to be God-satisfied. Oh, we might reserve the right to call upon Him when we get to a situation where we face death or danger or disaster or something like that. But on most days, as life moves on as normal, we think we're doing just fine and we don't really need the help from the Almighty. So we simply don't bother to call on Him. For example, in the New Testament, it urges us to pray and intercede for kings and all those in authority that we might live peaceful and quiet lives. But if life is moving along smoothly, we can easily ignore directives like this. Besides, we ask ourselves, what good will it do anyway? What difference will it really make? California just held a recall election for Governor Gavin Newsom. He's done much in many people's eyes to destroy that state. Homelessness is out of control. Educational scores are plummeting. The state is running out of money. They've been in lockdown so long that small businesses are starting to fail. I used to live in California, and I really resonate with a song Tom Petty wrote, which is called California, and he said, California's been good to me. I pray it doesn't fall into the sea. I prayed that sanity would return to the people of that state, that they would elect new leadership. I prayed for that election, and yet nothing I prayed about seemed to happen. I'm sure the devil whispered in my ear, see, prayer doesn't work, so why even bother? And yet, perhaps there is a change happening in California. Maybe things are beginning to turn around as people begin to see things with new eyes. Another reason why we don't pray is that we simply don't believe. Now, that sounds kind of harsh and a bit hard to swallow. But if we really believe that investing time and energy and thought and prayer, that prayer would actually change things, wouldn't we spend more time doing just that? Now, think about this. If you want your business to succeed, and you want it to succeed so much that you're willing to pray about and ask God to help your business, then wouldn't it be advisable to spend even more time praying and seeking God's help for your business? If we accepted beyond all doubt that crying out to God every day for a child in a season of rebellion would change and soften and alter and transform that child's character, would we set aside more interest in order to pray more? And as uncomfortable as it is me saying this, I sometimes feel like 10 minutes in prayer won't really accomplish as much as 10 minutes on the internet. And so I make that choice. The third reason we don't pray is that we allow ourselves to become discouraged. We may have prayed and prayed, and we may have even wept before God for something for so long that we feel like He hasn't answered. And so we lose heart and we stop praying. We do exactly what Jesus warned us not to do. In the book of Numbers, we read that the children of Israel were going through Edom on their way to the Promised Land. And as one translation puts it, the soul of the people became very discouraged on the way. And people spoke against God. And that can happen to us as well. We can become discouraged and we can begin to speak against God and against His plan in our lives. Billy Graham once said this, "The Christian life is not a constant high. I have moments of deep discouragement. I have to go to God in prayer with tears in my eyes and say, oh God, forgive me. Or, oh God, help me." I've talked a lot about why we don't pray, but I want to conclude this particular part of this series by asking you to turn your bulletins to our second lesson from James, James chapter 2. That's on page 5 in your bulletins. James writes this in verse 1. He says, "What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You desire, but you do not have, so you kill. You covet, but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight." Then he says this powerful verse, "You do not have because you do not ask God." Sometimes I believe we rely on wishful thinking rather than faithful prayer. James says one of the reasons why we don't have the things that we need is because we don't ask God. Next week I'm going to talk about why should we pray at all. You may think that you know the answer to that question, but I suspect that there are some things about that question that you really haven't considered. So I encourage you to join me next week as we continue on in this discussion about prayer. Let us pray. Lord, we thank You that You have called us to be people of prayer, and yet there are so many things that can distract us, so many things that can keep us from praying, so many things that can cause us to doubt Your goodness and love toward us. Lord, I pray that You would begin through this series to inspire us to a deeper level of prayer, that You would inspire us to seek You more often, that You would give us a new understanding of what prayer is all about, so that we would have a desire to go to You with all that we need. We thank you, Lord, that you've invited us to come into your presence, that you've opened the door for us to come into the very Holy of Holies to bring our requests to you. And Lord, I ask that as we bring those requests according to your will, you will grant those requests as may be best for us and those for whom we pray. I ask this in Jesus' name.
Amen.